Jai Om Vishnu Pradat Pada Paramahansa Parabhadacharya Osotara Satashi Shibad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanar Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shri Prasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturidam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Lasa Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Okay, so now Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budle Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. So Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So it's good to see everybody tonight. And it's nice to see a little dance before the Chaitanya Charitamrita reading. So right now, of course, we're reading primarily very philosophical topics of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we're going through it rather quickly because the topics tend to be very repetitive. Now, there's nothing wrong with being repetitive. Repetitive is good when you want to make the point and you want to establish that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, non-different from Krishna. And you also want to establish Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's necessary to have a lot of information establishing the same point for those who don't have faith. So it's good for us to hear these things, although we've heard them over and over again, but it's good for us to hear them again. And so we're going to go rather quickly through this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that's why we have been going rather quickly. Okay, so let's continue with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Okay, and we'll share the screen. Here we go. Alrighty, here we go. Let's see, we got everything set. Okay, we're on text 37 of the second chapter of the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prithvi aiche gata kulera karana ashray Jivara nidhana tumi sarva shray. So the translation is, as the earth is the original cause and shelter of all pots made of earth, so you are the ultimate cause and shelter of all living beings. And Prabhupada explained in the purport, as the vast earth is the source where the ingredients of all earthen pots, so the Supreme Soul is the source where the complete substance of all individual living entities, the cause of all causes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all the living entities. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 10, wherein the Lord says, Bijam Mam Sarvabhutanam, I am the seed of all living entities. And in the Upanishads, Katha Upanishads 2-2-13, which say, Nicho Nichanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, the Lord is the supreme leader among all the eternal living beings. And there's more to that verse, Nicho Nichanam. Come on. And he's actually the one who maintains everybody, too. The Lord is the reservoir of all cosmic manifestations, animate and inanimate, the advocates of Vishishtadvaitavada philosophy explained the Vedanta Sutra by saying that although the living entity has two kinds of bodies, subtle, consisting of mind, intelligence, and false ego, and gross, consisting of the five basic elements, Panchamahabhuta, and although he thus lives in three bodily dimensions, gross, subtle, and spiritual, he is nevertheless a spiritual soul. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead who emanates the material and spiritual worlds is the Supreme Spirit. As an individual spirit soul is almost identical to his gross and subtle bodies, so the Supreme Lord is almost identical to the material and spiritual world. Now, what does that mean? Let me unpack that. That means the material and spiritual worlds are a completely different quality than the Supreme Lord, but, whoops, computer, completely different quality than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like the souls of a different quality than the material world. But the material world takes the shape, and the spiritual world takes the shape according to the Lord's manifestation. In other words, like a mirror. Okay? So that's what we mean. The reflection of your image in the mirror is almost identical to you. Almost, but not quite. The material world, full of conditioned souls trying to lord it over matter, is a manifestation of the external energy of the Supreme Lord. And the spiritual world, full of perfect servitors of the Lord, is a manifestation of his internal energy. Since all living entities are minute sparks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the supreme soul of both the material and spiritual worlds. The Vaishnavas following Lord Chaitanya stress the doctrine of Ajinya Veda Aveda Tattva, which states that the Supreme Lord, being the cause and effect of everything, is inconceivably simultaneously one with his manifestations of energy and different from them, just like a reflection is the same as that which it is reflecting, but it's also different. I like that. Reflection example. I was listening to a class this morning. Prabhupada was using that in regard to another philosophical point. What was that philosophical point? He said, once upon a time, a little child wanted to get the moon or catch the moon. So this little child's mother picked up a mirror. And in that mirror, there was a reflection of the moon, and she gave her child the moon. So that's a very interesting example. It also illustrates how we are trying to enjoy Krishna. So Krishna gives us this reflection to try to enjoy. But nobody can enjoy a reflection, just like you cannot enjoy your reflection in the mirror. Let's say you have a reflection of food. Say your favorite food, whatever it is, you know, pizza, whatever. And you have it in the mirror, you cannot enjoy it. Something like that. Hell, here's another interesting example. This came to mind. Like the fox and the grapes, and also it's told like by a tiger too. I mean, there's many stories like this. All right, so the fox one time had a bunch of grapes, and he was going by a well, and he saw another fox with a bunch of grapes reflected in the well. He didn't know it was a reflection. So what he did is he thought, I should have those grapes too, and he went for those grapes, and at the same time, his grapes fell into the well, and he lost his grapes and didn't have the reflections of grapes either, because the reflection of grapes didn't exist. It was just an illusion. And that's like us, just grasping for straws, grasping for this reflection. Okay. Nara sabde kahi sarva jivera nishchai. Ayana sabde te kahi kahara shrai. Hold on a second. All right. The word nara refers to the aggregate of all the living beings, and the ayana refers to the refuge of them all. Of course, narayana, that the Lord is the refuge of all the living entities. Obviously, that's where the Lord's name narayana comes from. That name is a secondary name of God. Oh my God. What I mean by secondary name. Primary name refers to him, let's say, personally in his personal activities like Krishna, Govinda, etc. Secondary name like God. What was that noise? think I need to mute everybody, which I forgot to do. I will do that. Okay. That was a mistake. I forgot to mute everybody in the beginning. So secondary name of God is referring to God as God. That's God. Or referring to him as a resting place of all living entities, or Paramatma, or any of the names that refer to him in terms of his position. Creator, that's also named Allah, Yahweh, Jehovah, these are all secondary names of God. Primary names are actually his personal names. Just like you could refer to the president of the country as Mr. President, or is Mr. Biden. Even more personal is Joe. So, Adeva Tumi, Hao, Mula Narayan, Eka Hetu Shuna Dutiya Karan. You are therefore the original Narayan. That's Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. This is one reason. Please listen as they state the second. Jivara Ishwara Purushadi Avatar. Taha Sava Hoite Tumara Aishvarya Apar. The direct lords and living beings are the Purusha incarnations, but your opulence and power are more exalted than theirs. That's Krishna, of course. Ataiva Adishvara Tumi Sarva Pita. Tomara Shaktite Kanra Jagat Rakshita. Therefore, you are the primeval lord, the original father of everyone. They, the Purushas, are protectors of the universes by your power. Narera Ayana Yate Karaha Palan. Otoivahao Tumi Mula Narayan. Since you protect those who are the shelters of all living beings, you are the original Narayana. And Prabhupada explains the controlling deities of the living beings of the mundane world are three Purusha avatars, but the potent energy displayed by Sri Krishna is far more extensive than that of the Purushas. Sri Krishna is therefore the original Father and Lord who protects all creative manifestations through his various planetary portions. Since he sustains even the shelters of the collective living beings, there is no doubt that Sri Krishna is the original Narayan. So Narayan is a secondary name. So it can refer basically in one sense to any manifestation of God, including Krishna. Why do I say that? Because Narayana. He's the resting place for all the Naras, the living entities, and that's Krishna. As well as Narayana in another context means the Lord of four hands, you know, like the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, the Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and of course Mahavishnu. Tritiya Karana Shuna Sri Bhagavan, Ananda Brahmanda Bahu Vaikunthari Dham. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, kindly hear my third reason. There are countless universes and fathomless transcendental Vaikunthas. Vaikunthas are spiritual worlds. Deyata jiv taratrai kalika karm. Taha deka sakshi tumi jana sava man. Both in this material world and in the transcendental world, you see all the deeds of all living entities or all living beings in the past, present, and future. See? Since you are the witness of all such deeds, you know the essence of everything. Tomara darshane sarva jagatera stiti. Tumi na dekile karo nahi stiti gati. All the worlds exist because you oversee them. None can live, move, or have their being without your supervision. Narera ayana yate kara darakshan. Dahate hao tumi. Ula Narayana. You oversee the wanderings of all living beings. For this reason also, you are the primeval Lord Narayana. So Sri Krishna, his Paramatma feature, lives in the hearts of all living beings in both the transcendental and mundane creations as the Paramatma. He witnesses all actions that the living beings perform in all phases of time, namely past, present, and future. Sri Krishna knows what the living beings have done for hundreds and thousands of past births. He sees what they are doing now. Therefore, he knows the results of their present actions that will fructify in the future. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the entire cosmic situation is created as soon as he glances over the material energy. nothing can exist without his superintendence, since he sees even the abode where the collective living beings rest. He is the original Narayana. So let's get to the point of the creation. So before the creation, of course, there's Narayan. That's the Mahavishnu, and he's lying down on the serpent bed. And as he's lying down on the serpent bed, there's something else that's existing, which is called the pradhan, the unmanifest state of the three modes of material nature that don't have any energy in them. So he glances at this pradhana, and the pradhan begins to manifest all the varieties that we see in this material world. Krishna kahena brahma tamara na bhuji vachan jiva hridi jali oishe se narayan. Krishna said, Brahma, I cannot understand what you are saying. Lord Narayan is he who sits in the hearts of all living beings and lies down in the waters of the Karana ocean. So here Krishna is making the point, you know, I don't know what you're saying. I'm not Lord Narayan. This is just a test of Lord Brahma's knowledge. Text 48. Brahkahi jale jeev ye Narayan se savatamara angsha e sachavachan. And Brahma replied, what I have said is true. The same Lord Narayan who lives in the waters and in the hearts of all living entities is but a plenary portion of you. Karanadi Karbodaka Shirodaka Shai Mayidware Srishti Kare Tate Sava Mai. The Karanadakshai, Garbhadakshai, and Shiradakshai forms of Narayan all create in cooperation with the material energy. In this way, they are attached to Maya. Attached to Maya doesn't mean they're controlled by Maya. Just like when we say, when I'm attached to something, then I may be controlled by it. Attached to my tongue, attached to my computer, controlled by the computer. But when we say, in this way, Narayan, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, Shiradakshai Vishnu, and Mahavishnu are attached. That means they're connected and they're dealing with the material energy, but they're not in the material energy. They are transcendental. Sei tina jal shai sarva antaryami brahmanda rindera atma ye purusha nami. These three Vishnus lying in the water are the supersoul of everything. The supersoul of all the universes is known as the first Purusha. So that's the Mahavishnu. He's the supersoul of all the universes, and the other ones are going to be described here. Aranya garvera atma garvodaka shai. Yasta jiva antaryami shirodaka shai. Garbhadakshai Vishnu is the supersoul, the aggregate of living entities. That is the supersoul of the universe, because he's in the universe. And Shiradakshai Vishnu is the supersoul of each individual living being. So Garbhadakshai Vishnu is in the heart of the universe. Shiradakshai Vishnu is in the heart of each living entity. I think we all know that. Hey, Savara Darshanete Achi Maya Ganda Turiya Krishneranahi Mayara Sambanda. Specifically, we see that these Purushas have a relationship with Maya. But above them in the fourth dimension is Lord Krishna, who has no contact with the material energy. The three Purushas, Karanadakshai Vishnu as Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and Shiradakshai Vishnu, who is the Paramatma, all have a relationship with the material energy called Maya, because through Maya they create the material cosmos. These three Purushas who lie in the Karana, Garbha, and Shira oceans, respectively, are the supersoul of everything that be. Karanadakshai Vishnu is the supersoul of the collective universes. We heard this before. Garbhadakshai Vishnu is the supersoul of the collective living beings. And Shiradakshai Vishnu is the supersoul of all individual living entities. Because all of them are somehow attracted to the affairs of the material energy, they can be said to have some affection for Maya. But so their affection isn't that they're controlled. They're transcendental. But the transcendental position of Sri Krishna himself is not even slightly tinged by Maya. His transcendental state is called Turiya, or the fourth dimensional stage. So you may also say that they're attracted, or have some affection, for Maya, because Maya is a pure devotee. She's transcendental personality. And she's the warden of this prison house. Another name of that particular Maya, the Mahamaya, is Durga. She makes everybody move with great difficulty. Okay. Viradharanya garvascha karanam chet yupar dayaha ishashit yat chavir hi nam turiyam tatpachakshate. In the material world, the Lord is designated as Virat, that means universe, Haranyagarbha, and Karana, that means he's the super soul of all the universes. Haranyagarbha, he's in the womb of this universe, super soul, and then Karana, Karana means the cause, so that would be the Mahavishnu. Beyond these three designations, the Lord is ultimately in the fourth dimension. That means that Krishna is beyond time. He's in the spiritual world outside of this material energy. Virat, the phenomenal manifestation of the Supreme Whole, Karanyagarbha, the numinous soul of everything. That means of the universe. Okay, and Karana, the cause or causal nature, are all but designations of the Purushas, responsible for material creation. The transcendental position surpasses these designations, is therefore called the position of the fourth dimension. This is a quotation from Shri Shami's commentary in the 11th canto, 15th chapter, verse 16 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Yadyapi tinneramaya laya vyavahar tatapi tatsparshanahi sabbe maya par. Although these three features of the Lord deal directly with the material energy, none of them are touched by it. That's what they said. They are all beyond illusion. Etad ishanam shasha prapatishto pi tad gunahai mayuchyate sadatma star yatha buddhis tadashraya. This is the opulence of the Lord. Although situated in the material nature, he is never affected by the modes of nature. Similarly, those who have surrendered to him and fixed their intelligence upon him are not influenced by the modes of nature. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 1, 1st canto, 11th chapter, text 38. Those who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not identify with the material world even while living in it. Pure devotees may deal with the three modes of material nature, but because of their transcendental intelligence and Krishna consciousness, they are not influenced by the material qualities. The spell of material activities does not attract such devotees. Therefore, the Supreme Lord and his devotees acting under him are always free from material contamination. Description is, it's like a lotus leaf that is floating on the water. Because lotus leaves have a waxy covering, they don't soak up any water. Although you may say they're in the water or on the water, but they're not waterlogged. So a pure devotee may be in the material world, but he's not of the material world. He's not mode-logged. Anyway. Se tina janera tumi parama ashray tumi mula narayana ite ki samshay. You are the ultimate shelter of these three planetary portions. Thus, there is not the slightest doubt that you are the primeval Narayana. So these are prayers that Brahma is making to Lord Krishna. Brahma has confirmed that Lord Krishna is the supreme, the source of the three manifestations known as the Shiradakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Karanadakshaya Vishnu. That's Mahavishnu. For his pastimes, the Lord has four original manifestations, namely Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. The first Purusha avatar, Mahavishnu, in the causal ocean, who is the creator of the aggregate material energy, is an expansion of Sankarshan. The second Purusha, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, is an expansion of Paradyuna. And the third Purusha, Shuddhadakshaya Vishnu, is an expansion of Aniruddha. All these are within the category of manifestations of Narayana, who is a manifestation of Sri Krishna. Sei tinera unchi paravyoma narayan tenha tumara vilasa tumi mula narayan. The source of these three features is the Narayan in the spiritual sky. He is your Vilas expansion. Therefore, you are the ultimate Narayan. That's Krishna, of course, the ultimate Narayan. Ataiva Brahma Vokye Paravyoma Narayan. Teno Krishnera Vilas Etatva. Therefore, according to the authority of Brahma, the Narayan, who is the predominating deity in the transcendental world, is but the Vilas feature of Krishna. This has now been conclusively proved. A shloka tattva lakshana bhagavata sar parivasa rupe ihara sarva tradikar. The truth is indicated in this verse, text 30, is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. This conclusion, through synonyms, applies everywhere. Brahma atma bhagavan krishnera vihar e artha na jani murta arti kare ar. Not knowing that Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are all features of Krishna, foolish scholars speculate in various ways. Avatari Narayana, Krishna avatar. Tena chaturbhuja inha manusha akar. Because Narayana has four hands, whereas Krishna looks just like a man, they say that Narayana is the original God, whereas Krishna is but an incarnation. You know, some people speculate like that. Well, Narayana has more hands. And that's meaning he's God, and you have two hands, it's two less hands than four. So if you have less, you must be better. I don't know where that philosophy came from. Some scholars argue because Narayana has four hands, whereas Sri Krishna has only two. Narayana is the original personality of Godhead, and Krishna is his incarnation. Such intelligent scholars do not understand the features of the Absolute. Now, Narayana has four hands because he has four different symbols in these hands, like conch, lotus, club, and disc. And so he has some of them for blessing the devotees, some of them for annihilating the miscreants, like the club and the Sudarshan disc. So, because that's how he acts and that's his function. Whereas Krishna doesn't do those things. When it comes time to kill the demons, Krishna expands himself. Subhasati of expansion. In its original form, Krishna's engaged in loving exchanges. And the killing is done by his expansions, such as Narayana. Therefore, the weapons are necessary. Maybe not necessary, but they're part of the paraphernalia of killing demons. E mate nana rupa kari purva paksh dahara nirjiti bhagavata padyadaksh. In this way, their arguments appear in various forms, but the poetry of Bhagavatam expertly refutes them all. Okay. Vedanti tat tattva vidas. Tattvam yajjanam udvayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabjate. That's from the Bhagavatam. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth say that it is non-dual knowledge and it is called impersonal Brahman, the localized paramatma, and the personality of Godhead. This text is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text 11. So, this is the things we've discussed before. That Bhagavan realization is just the impersonal Brahman, which is composed of different jiva souls floating. Paramatma realization is the Lord in the heart. And Bhagavan realization is realizing Krishna in the local Vrindavan or any of the Narayan expansions. Shunabhaye shloka karaha vichar eka mukya tatva tina tanhara vichar. My dear brothers, kindly listen to the explanations of this verse and consider its meaning. The one original entity is known in his three different features. In other words, the same person. Advaya jnana tattva vastu krishnera swarup. Brahma atma bhagavan tina tanra rup. Lord Krishna himself is the one undivided absolute truth, the ultimate reality. He manifests himself in three features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. About that before. In the verse, From the Srimad Bhagavatam cited above, 1.2.11, the principal word Bhagavan indicates the personality of Godhead, and Brahman Paramatma are concomitants deduced from the absolute personality. In other words, they're there at the same time, as a government and its ministers are deductions from the supreme executive head. You know, president, government, ministers. In other words, the principal truth is exhibited in three different phases. The absolute truth, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna Bhagavan, is also known as Brahman and Paramatma, although all these features are identical. Eshlokera arte tumi haila niravachan. Ara eka shuna bhagavatera vachan. The import of this verse has stopped you from arguing. Now listen to another verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is actually one of the nutshell verses of Bhagavatam, which comes after the list of all the incarnations. Ete changsa kalakpum sa krishnas du bhagavan swayam intriyari yukulam lokam nityante yuge yuge. All these incarnations of God or Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. That means the demons. Pritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chadushkritam. Krishna comes to annihilate the miscreants, establish religious principles, and protect the devotees. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, text 28, definitely negates the concept that Sri Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu or Narayan. Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, the supreme cause of all causes. This verse clearly indicates that incarnations of the personality of Godhead, such as Sri Ram, Narsingh, and Varaha, all undoubtedly belong to the Vishnu group, but all of them are either plenary portions or portions of plenary portions of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So, you know, you talk to many Hindus, and many Hindus will say, oh, Vishnu is supreme and Krishna is an expansion or incarnation of Vishnu. No, that's not what the Shastras say. That's not what the books say. That's what your little mind and your little bogus guru may say. But bona fide gurus don't say that. Sabha avatarera kari samanya lakshan. Taraman J. Krishna chandrera kari la ganam. The Bhagavatam describes the symptoms and deeds of the incarnations in general and counts Sri Krishna among them. Tavi sutagoshai, mani panag badad boy, yarad ye lakshana taha karila nischai. This made Sutagoswami greatly apprehensive. Therefore, he distinguished each incarnation by its specific symptoms. Avatara sabha purushera kala ansh, swayam bhagavan krishna. Sarva avatansh. All the incarnations of Godhead are plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars, but the primeval Lord is Sri Krishna, is the supreme personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of all incarnations. Purva pakshakahi tamara bailata yakara bhakta yakyana paravyomanarayana swayam bhagavan. An opponent may say, this is your interpretation, but actually the Supreme Lord is Narayan, who is in the transcendental realm. Tena asi krishnera rupa, rupe, sir, karena avatar, e artha sloke deki ki aravichar. He, Narayan, incarnates as Lord Krishna. So this is what people who don't know the philosophy say. This is the meaning of the verse as I see it. There's no need for further consideration. Tare kahe kene kara kuta kanuman shatsta virudharta kabu nahaye praman. To such a misguided interpreter, we may reply, why should you suggest such fallacious logic? An interpretation is never accepted as evidence if it opposes the principles of scripture. Anuvadam anuktvatu navideyam ude. Udirayet, na yalabdas padam kinchit, kutra chit patitishtati. One should not state a predicate before its subject, for it cannot thus stand without proper support. This is a rhetorical rule in Sanskrit. The rhetorical rule appears in the Ekadashi Tattva, 13th canto, in connection with the metaphorical use of words. An unknown object should not be put before the known subject, because the object has no meaning if the subject is not given first, or first given. So that's a Sanskrit rule. In English, you could do things differently than that. Anuvada na kahiya na kahi videya. Age anuvada kahi paschad videya. If I do not state a subject, I do not state a predicate. First I speak the former, and then I speak the latter. Videya kahi tare ye vastu agyat. Anuvada kahi tare ye hoya agyat. The predicate of a sentence is what is unknown to the reader. You understand? Whereas the subject is what is known to him. Ayache kahi e vipra parama pandita. Vipra anuvada ihara videya panditya. For example, we may say, this vipra is a greatly learned man. In this sentence, the vipra is the subject and the predicate is his erudition. So you wouldn't say in Sanskrit, the greatly learned man is a vipra. You'd say the vipra is a greatly learned man. Anyway, Sanskrit has different rules, I guess. Vipratva vikyata tara panditya agyat. Ataiva vipra age panditya paschat. The man's being a vipra is known, but his erudition is unknown. Therefore, the person is identified first and his erudition later. So that's the point, yeah. Which you can understand, if you know something, you should identify it first. You know? Like so-and-so is a rascal. So, so-and-so is the subject, the rascal is the predicate. Okay. You can say, a rascal is so-and-so. You would say it in English. Tache ingha avatara sabahai lakyat. Hara avatara evastu avigyat. In this way, all the incarnations were known, but whose incarnations they are was unknown. So, in other words, it's addressing this particular verse, ete changsa kalak umsa krishnastu bhagavan svayam. Because it's obviously addressing what went on before. All these incarnations are parts and parcels of Krishna, who is Swayam Bhagavan. Anyway, so it proves that Krishna is the source of all the incarnations. Ete shabde avatarera age anuvad. Purushera ansha pache videya samvad. First, the word ete, these, establishes the subject, the incarnations, the then plenary portions of the Purusha avatars follows as the predicate. Taiche Krishna avatara vitare hailagyat. Tanhara vishesha jnana se avigat. In the same way, when Krishna was first counted among the incarnations, specific knowledge about him was still unknown. Ateva Krishna shava agi anuvad. Swayam bhagavata piche videya samvad. Therefore, the word Krishna appears as the subject, followed by the predicate describing him as the original personality of Godhead. Very nice. Krishna Swayam Bhagavata Ihahaila Sadhya. Swayam Bhagavan Mera Krishna Tva Haila Bhajya. This establishes that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. The original personality of God is therefore necessarily Krishna. Krishna yadi ansha haita anshi narayana tavi viparita haita sutera vacham. Had Krishna been the plenary portion, Narayana, the primeval lord, the statement of Suta Goswami would have been reversed. Yes. Narayana anshi ye swayam bhagavan tena shi Krishna ache karita vyakam vyakam. Thus he would have said, Narayana, the source of all incarnations, is the original personality of Godhead. He has appeared as Sri Krishna. Instead he said, Krishna is the original source. Anyway. Brahma pramada vipralipsa karana patva arshavi yavakye nahi dosha e sabha. Mistakes, illusions, cheating, and defective perception do not occur in the sayings of authoritative sages. Whoops. Let's see how much it happened. This is a long purport, and I think it's important, so let's start with this tomorrow. We'll repeat. Text 86 is tomorrow. Okay. And we'll finish up the chapter rather quickly. Okay, so we are ready to take questions. Let me just open it up. All right. You are all allowed to ask questions now. Who would like to ask a question?
Oh, Pranishra. Good day.
Yes, Pranishra.
Yeah, my question is we have to take the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna.
Yeah.
And also the intelligence should be in the lotus feet of Krishna, but the senses and mind is so engrossed to gratify this material world. So how to change the object and should not be indulged in sense gratification and should be focused for to serve to Krishna and to devotees, Vaishnava devotees.
It's called love. Just like that song, all you need is love, love, all you need is love. So one has to love not only Krishna, one has to love Krishna's devotees, especially the spiritual master, and want to please. Like what I do, I mean, I can't even say I know Krishna, I know Prabhupada. And I'm trying to please Prabhupada, and I'm thinking about Prabhupada, and I'm thinking about what would Prabhupada say to me about my activities. And how would Prabhupada correct me? So it's a personal relationship. Actually, controlling the senses is very difficult. It's more difficult than what? Controlling the wind. Chanchala himanaha Krishna pramati balabhadradam tashaham nigraham manye. Bayor Iva Shudushkaram, Krishna says, or Arjuna says to Krishna, the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and control is more difficult than controlling the wind. So, therefore, we have to be engaged in some practical service to please Krishna and the spiritual master. And to be absorbed. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir, Brahmagno Brahmanatam, Brahmatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhanam. You know that verse? One should be absorbed in some service according to your psychophysical nature to please Krishna and be thinking of pleasing Krishna's representative. Then the senses automatically come under control. If you try to refrain the senses but without having a higher taste, then you're pretending. So you need that raso varjam, raso pisha. What is that higher taste? That higher taste is the love that one feels. Just like in my life, I tried to please Prabhupada. You know, and Prabhupada, by trying to please Prabhupada, then senses automatically come under control. It's very easy. It's not a difficult thing. If I was thinking just like having to control my senses, that would be like, wow. Like wild horses there, you know. But I think of pleasing Prabhupada, then it's very easy. It's love. You know, just like if you have someone who's madly in love, they're always thinking of pleasing their beloved. Just like you just got married, so you're always thinking of pleasing your wife, right? Yes? No?
No!
No! You rascal! Come on, you've just been married a few days, basically. You should be thinking of pleasing your wife. There has to be some love. You know, people think that, you know, you become Krishna conscious and then you don't love anybody. You become like a stone. I mean, Krishna consciousness is full of love. You should love your wife. She should love you. You know, Krishna. Mothers should love their children. Gurus should love their disciples. Disciples should love their gurus. I mean, it's just like, what's happening? So, if there's love, And you, how do you awaken that love? By understanding the person, just like by seeing Prabhupada or coming in contact with Prabhupada, then I could see Prabhupada's so much compassion. So much compassion. Prabhupada's transcendental qualities. He naturally attracted my mind, just like iron filings are attracted to a magnet. Prabhupada attracted my mind. And I just wanted to please him. And also, another point is that the debt that one has to Krishna and the spiritual master, you just want to please them, pay off your debt. It's like being an eternal penury. Yeah, penury it's called. Eternal debt. So you're just thinking, wow, I owe so much. But actually, it's love. It's not simply debt. It's just love. You know, I want to please Prabhupada. I mean, it should be a very strong feeling in our hearts towards Prabhupada and our spiritual master that we just want to please. That keeps us fixed in Krishna consciousness. Not simply trying to restrain the senses from their sense objects, because this is like the wind, controlling the wind. Then if you're just trying to do a negative all the time, you know, we have, like Prabhupada said jokingly, we have so many donuts in the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, do nots in the Krishna consciousness movement. So if you're just thinking like that, then every minute becomes like a torture. You know, I got to control my senses. I can't go hang gliding. What else do I want to do? I can't. When I go to New Zealand, I can't jump off the sky tower. Go bungee jumping off the sky tower like I'd like to do. Or I can't go to the mountains in North Carolina, go snow skiing. Or can't go canoeing. Or I can't go canoeing. Anyway, so, you know, you think all these do nots, it's just like, oh, it's torture. I can't eat this. I can't eat that. I mean, just like in my own life, I have a lot of eating do nots. And I'm not talking about, you know, meat, fish, and eggs. I don't eat certain things. Why? I mean, all right, let me give you the example, which I've given many times before. Many times I've radically changed my diet. And I'm not changing my diet because I'm naturally austere. That has nothing to do with it. It's changing my diet because I want to have the energy to serve Prabhupada. You know, so just like every day I'm adjusting certain things to see which gives me the most energy, most clarity of mind to serve Prabhupada. And whatever it is, that's what I'll do. So it's all based on love. Yasha devi parabhaktir yadate yadi tadakuru tashayate katita yarta prakashante mahatmana. And that's what bhakti yoga means. You know, we do a little sankhya, you know, analysis of the material elements. But we're not sankhya yogi in that sense. We haven't, you know, yeah, we have a little jnana, we have a little sankhya, but what does that say? This topmost dharma, is bhakti. Bhakti means just like unalloyed love, where the heart flows. Like Lord Kapiladeva says, it's like the river, that flows down automatically into the ocean. But when you try to control your senses without bhakti, it's like trying to swim upstream. I don't know. Do you swim, Pranesha? No.
No.
No. The funny thing is they don't teach people in India how to swim because they're afraid that the people are going to drown. The mothers have all these superstitions that the mothers are going to drown. I mean, the children are going to drown, so they don't teach their poor children to swim. And so that's why the children drown, because the stupid mother never taught their children to swim. If they taught them to swim, they wouldn't drown. But it's like a self-fulfilling thing, you know. I know in Fiji it's like that. You know, we go to the ocean with the devotees. And I said, you know, who's going swimming with me? And they go up to their ankles. And I said, would you like to go in a little further? And they say, no, it's dangerous. My mother had dreams that I was going to die swimming, so she never taught me how to swim. I said, this is the most foolish thing. All these superstitions you have there. And the superstitions become self-fulfilling prophecies. I mean, it's stupid. You should learn. My mother threw me in the water when I was 1 year old. I mean, with little water wings on. And I learned how to swim. I'm not scared of the water. So anyway, so sometimes, all right, let me give the example. Sometimes we go swimming in the Ganges right in Mayapur. And the river is very swift. And so it's very hard to swim against the current. Like one year, one of my disciples went in the water and he thought he could swim. He's watching me now. Anyway, he just thought he could swim. And I said, come out. You know, I was on one of the islands or something like that in the Ganges. And I said, come on. He said, oh, I can do it. No problem. No problem. So he gets like halfway out in the water. And he goes, Gurudev! I'm drowning. And so, of course, and then one of the Gurudev's assistants, I would have gone to save him. Believe me, I wouldn't have let him go under. But someone else went, one of my other disciples went and saved him. So sometimes we think that, I like this example I'm giving, not because I'm teasing someone, but because it's like that sometimes we think we're strong enough to swim against the current. And it just doesn't work like that. You can't swim, you can't control your senses. The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong and more difficult than controlling the wind. So therefore, instead of then basically call out for Gurudev, you know, say, help, help, help. And then the help is there. But not that the Gurudev just like takes your senses and, you know, touches you with his magic wand, magic danda or something like that. But through love, through trying to please someone. Just like you see mothers, when they're trying to please the child, they do impossible things. Like changing diapers. I mean, that's an impossible. I mean, I would be throwing up every minute if I had to do such a thing like that. Like when I would, see, that's why mothers have so much love in this world. Like when I was a little baby, my father changed my diapers one time and he never came close to doing it again. He started throwing up. But mothers are like that. They have so much love that, you know, even the stool of the child, Prabhupada said, they consider it to be like sandalwood pulp. It's your child's stool. It's hard to believe. Ugh, just even thinking about it, I'm ready to regurgitate. So when there's love, then controlling the senses is so easy. It's so easy to get up. You know, people ask me, how do I get up early in the morning? You know, we have a lot of devotees who I tell, please get up in the morning. Pretty please get up in the morning. Would you like to get up in the morning? Pretty please with sugar on top. Please get up in the morning. Why aren't you here in the morning? Oh, please, pretty please. I'll be a good guru if you get up in the morning. And so, you know, so how come I get up every morning for Mangalarti? It's not that, you know, and I'm like 95 years old at this point or whatever, you know, over 71. You know, so young people, they can't do it, and I'm doing it. Huh? How is this old guy doing it every morning? I'm doing it because I know it pleases Krishna. That's all. It's not that I wake up in the morning and my body is like as light as a feather. I mean, like, everybody, you know, they wake up in the morning and the body, and, you know, generally the body is pretty heavy. It's just like, you know, it's just like a ton of bricks. But you wake up in the morning and you're thinking, Prabhupada, And wow, I get to see Krishna. Oh, and that's another thing. I get to see Krishna. Wow, I get to hear the Guru Vashtika prayers in the morning. Wow. So it's because there's love there. I want to see Krishna. I mean, I miss it. Whenever I have to miss it, because let's say at a certain point I had to not go to the temple because I was afraid I had the virus, it was torture because of love. You understand? So this should be like that. I mean, we have to have so many loving relationships. Now, loving, you know, it's like you're married, you should love your wife. Right? You're disagreeing. Yes, yeah, but, no?
Yeah, but how to please her? Because
yes, but. Oh, yes, but. Here's yes, but. Yeah, but negates everything that goes before it. Yeah. He's expert at yes, Gurudev, but. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, what's the use of life without loving relationships?
Yeah, but we have to serve to Sri Prabhupada.
Yes, yeah, you know, but I think you've perfected the use of the word but. There's this saying, never put your butt in someone's face. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so, all right, so what do you have to say?
I've seen about how to please to wife, like, you know, have, you know, to serve to Sri Prabhupada movement and also to contribute in this, in the Bhakti Yoga.
So loving your wife, you try to help her in Krishna consciousness, and you also, yes. Everybody has their external needs too. You know, the physical needs, mental needs, emotional needs. When we have relationships with people, whether it's guru or disciple or wife or husband or father or uncle or whatever, then we help the people materially as well as spiritually. That's part of your duty, like that.
Yes, well.
And then, but everything should be done joyfully. Krishna consciousness is joyfully performed. You should be happy. Whatever Krishna has given you, whatever is your quota, you should be just happy. Krishna is so kind.
Yes.
You're very fortunate. I mean, you have a good business, you have a good wife, you have a good everything. You're able to go to Govardhan.
Yes.
I mean, come on. Look at your good fortune. How many people in the world? I can't even go to Govardhan. I'm stuck here in the United States, you know. And every time I talk to a devotee, I have to wear a mask at the same time. It's like, you know, it's like the Lone Ranger, basically, you know, with a mask. So you are very fortunate. Yeah, if you think like that, thank Krishna. Wow, Krishna, he's given me so much. And just do it out of love. It's bhakti.
Yes.
Not jnana yoga or sankhya yoga or hatha yoga or whatever other type of yoga. It's bhakti yoga. It's so easy. Like I said, getting up in the morning, going to Mangal Arati is easy. I don't need 3 or 4 alarm clocks. You know, some people have 3, 4, 10 alarm clocks. And they're all going off and they still don't get up. It's incredible. And the only thing that wakes me up, generally I wake up without an alarm clock, but I just have a watch. It buzzes a little bit. It goes buzz. I said, oh, time to get up. Mangal Arati, time to chant. Haribo, time to chant. Happy. Be happy. Okay, on that happy note, I think that's all we have time for tonight. Don't worry, it's not that everyone will get the same treatment that Pranayshree gets. Everybody has a different relationship. You know, I get worried that after Pranayshree asks questions and I end up having a little fun, that in the next few nights nobody's going to ask questions because they're afraid they're going to get the sauce like Pranayshree. I only give it to people. Actually, the people who work with me get the sauce more. That's a sign of love. Like there was that story about how Lord Chaitanya chastised. There was a story. Sanatana Goswami and Jagannanda Pandit. He chastised Jagannanda Pandit for giving Sanatana Goswami advice, and then Sanatana Goswami got envious. He said, "I can see that you have a really close relationship with Jagannanda Pandit, but me, I'm just getting the bitter nimba fruit of praises. So I only, you know, I only give like, I'm not chastising, but I only give these sorts of interactions when people are really fixed in Krishna consciousness. So don't become fixed in Krishna consciousness. It's a little dangerous." Someone gave him a message. He said, "I'd like some nimba fruit." He said, "You already get chastised enough. You don't need it anymore." Okay, so we have to end now because it's time and I have a lot of things to do tonight. Okay, all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening, same time, same station.